We'd like to continue a discussion that we began some time ago with regard to the status of the object that was designated for a mitzvah after the mitzvah is complete. We want to begin this discussion with the Asvin Doraisa of one of the greats of the previous generation. His name is Rabbi Yosef Engel. He lived about a century ago. And to a large extent, he bases himself on a tanchuma, and we've mentioned this tanchuma in the past, that the object of a mitzvah, even after the mitzvah is complete, still has certain dinim to it. For example, we spoke in the context of Ner Chanukah about the fact that you designated the oils and the wicks for Chanukah. And the Midrash says that those oils and wicks are hukta l'mitzvasa. They cannot be used for personal usages, for benefits, even after Chanukah. And we have various shitos in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, as to how this evolves lahalacha, all the way down to halacha l'maisa. The Asvin Doraisa has a particular perspective on this din, on this tanchuma. And he says the following. The Achronim, the later commentaries, wonder about the status of Isurei D'Rabbanan. When the Rabbanan introduce an Isur, what is the nature of that Isur? And according to an entire school of thought, very popular amongst the Achronim, Isurei D'Rabbanan are fundamentally different than Isurei D'Oraisa. Whereas the Torah, when it legislates a prohibition on an object, the object itself inherently becomes a different kind of object. It's what we call a Chefetz D'Isura. Inherent in the object, it's also, it's prohibited. In the case of an Isur D'Rabbanan, the Achronim claim, the Isur is an Isur Gavra. The individual has to separate himself from the object. But the object per se remains a Chefetz D'Etera. And Rabbi Yosef Engel writes that based on this Medrash Tanchuma that addresses the case of Haktsas Ner Chanukah, it seems that we can learn from this Tanchuma that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, he gives his consent to Divrei Chachamim, then something amazing happens. The Isur D'Rabbanan, once it meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu's consent, changes the nature of the object. A person doesn't have the right to say, I will not fulfill the mitzvah of the Zkenim, of the elders. He's obligated and mandated to do so under the law of Lotasur and Vasisa Kechal Shayarucha. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give his consent to this halacha, this din, that the Cheftza of Ner Chanukah, the oil and the wick remain huktzal in mitzvasa with their isurim that enjoin one from benefiting it for his personal benefits even after Chanukah. The fact that the Chachamim instituted this isur would classify it, according to the Achronim that we mentioned earlier, as a classical isur d'rabbanan, which is an isur gavra. But the fact that in this particular case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Medrash, went a step further and he gave his approval and his consent to this takana, to this halach of huktzal mitzvasa, it means that the Isur D'Rabbanan in this particular case is upgraded, elevated to the status of a quasi-Isur Torah, Isur D'Oraisa, in which the Isur is, to quote Rav Yosef Engel, the Atzmut Sachef, Al Atzmut Sachefetz. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the authority to transform the object and its very inherent status. And that's why an Isur D'Oraisa is an Isur Cheftz, but not an Isur D'Rabbanan. But here's a very interesting development, something very unique. The Rabbanan made the institution. they instituted this Issur kol huksel mitzvasa. They prohibited from our personal benefits. And now, even though they, the Rabbanan, took this initiative, and we would have thought it's a classical Rabbanan, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his approval. And it means he, with a capital H, took one step further. So even though the Chachamim in general are not authorized, it's not within their domain, within their power, to engender an Iser Heftza, to convert the Heftza into Heftza the Isur. They can only tell you, you have to listen, and you're obliged to follow our rules, and if we enjoin you, then you're not allowed to benefit it. That's an Iser Gavra. Here, in this very unique case, the Rabbanan created an Iser Heftza. They don't have the power to do so, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take that Iser, initiated by the Chacham, and elevate it to a new status. So although in general, as we said, Chacham do not have the koach to be mechadesh, to generate an Iser in the Atzmut HaKeftza, they cannot transform the Heftza and its very essence, its very status. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes one step likratam, you know, to meet the Chachamim halfway, in a halfway measure, so to speak, and he, God, decides that should be a Chalos Kedusha in the Heftza itself, that the Heftza becomes transformed in its very essence, that when a person designates an object for a mitzvah, Huktzel mitzvasa, is Kevon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskim al Divrei Chachamim, is therefore, it becomes Gufo shel Iser, becomes an Iser batzmuso. It becomes a Ratzon of Hashem that you shouldn't eat or you shouldn't benefit from this object. Lashem Aretz Meloah, God is the owner and the master of the universe. Memela, says Reb Yosef Engel, Nasa Hadovra Hu Cheftza shel Iser biatzmuso. And therefore, a person has to be marchik himself from this object and benefiting personally from this object because of the sanctity of the object, because of the will of Hashem to give his approval, as we said before, and convert the Heftza shel mitzvah into a Heftza shel isur. The Chacham hu mitzaveh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim. Man initiates, and God completes the process by giving his approval. And here, with regard to a Heftza shel mitzvah, the element of sanctity of Kedusha, of Huktzel mitzvasa, now becomes designated as the Ratzon Hashem. God wants this Heftza to have Kedusha. And now the object is inherently endowed with Kedusha. Man has to stay away from this object, not only because of his standing in front of the Chachamim, you know, it's mul the Chachamim and saying, well, I must observe the law and the mandate of the Chachamim, but even because of the inherent status of the object. Where does Rav Yosef Engel see in the words of the Tanchuma and in the law of Huktzel Mitzvasa, this gigantic chiddush of converting the object into a Heftza d'Isura because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haskama? And the answer is that we see something here that's so unusual. This din of Haktzos ner Chanukah, which is only Haktzos for a mitzvah Rabbanon, and yet the object, the ner Chanukah, takes on the status of Huktza Machmas HaMitzvah. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives his approval, it becomes as if it was written in the Torah. And the Atzmus HaKheftza, insofar as it's designated for a mitzvah, becomes identical with a Heftza shel mitzvah as if the mitzvah were Doraisa. The Kedusha that's now inherent in the object is a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am maskim to Divrei Chachamim. I will endow this object with the status of Kedusha. And if you recall, in the past we've discussed the Chiddush of the Ran, which comes even earlier than the Ran in the Baal HaMor, that HaNeiros HaLolu Kodesh Heim V'Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Behem, indicating that there's some sort of Kedushas Iser in the object. We said that although in general, if and the Issa d'Rabbanan falls into a tarovas, you're allowed to be marbe, you're allowed to be mevatel chatchila, but not in the case of Shemen Shel Ner Chanukah. We said because of the Kedusha, the Hegdesh aspect of Ner Chanukah. And we said that the fascinating thing about Huktzel Mitzvos and Ner Chanukah in the context of this Tanchumen Noso and the Shiltus of Rabbi Chaigon is that that Easter extends even beyond the confines of Chanukah itself. And that's a very unique halacha. It means the object itself is inherently Asur. And it's not that my observance of Yontif or of Chanukah engenders this din that I have to be marchik myself and not enjoy the benefits of the ner of the Shemen, but rather that the object, the Shemen itself, is Asur. And that's why it's not connected to Chanukah. It continues to be Asur even after Chanukah. So many of the unique dinim that we see here are derived from the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon that the object be endowed with Kedusha through Huktzel and Mitzvasa, and it has the status of a Cheftza Disura. In that sense, it's very close to an Issa D'Oraisa. And therefore, the normal halacha of Mevatlin, Issa L'Chatchila, doesn't apply over here. Having said that, let's discuss other cases of objects that were designated for a mitzvah. We have a principle that we mentioned in the past, that Tashmishi Mitzvah Nizrakim. I want to study with you a tshuva of the Shevet HaKohasi. His question is the following. If you have a belt, what we call in Yiddish a gartel, that's designated for tefillah, you wear it when you daven, or if you have a hat that you cover your head when you daven, or you have a talus cotton, and any of these garments, balu v'nikru, they became disintegrated, they ripped, they tore. What's the law? What do you do with these gartluch, with these hats, with these talus cottons? Do you have to put them into gniza? Can you just throw them in the garbage? And the address for this is Arachayim Simon Chof Aleph, Talisos shall mitzvah shebalu, Adam bodel atzmo mehem, v'yeno mutu l'kaneach atzmo behem, v'lo liyachid osam l'tashmish meguna, el zorko v'hem kolim. You have these talisos, and they're worn out, you no longer want to use them for the mitzvah of talis. However, you're not allowed to use them for a tashmish meguna. And the Mishnah Berurah says that when it says in Halacha you're allowed to throw him in the Ashpa, it's not any Ashpa. You know, if you have an Ashpa which is really Maguna, it's Meluchlach Betzoa, or something similar, you're not allowed to put it in there. The Talisa Shal Mitzvah, insofar as they were designated for the Mitzvah and used for the Mitzvah, they become, in a certain sense, sanctified. We have to treat them with a certain respect and not to be zorik them in a makom that's mos, that's meluchlach, that's maguna. So when it says that you're allowed to throw them in the ashpa, yesh ashpa v'yesh ashpa, you know, we throw it in the trash and the rubbish, it's got to be an ashpa she'ena meluchlach ma'ot. It's not going to be mos and it's not going to be a bizoyan to the talis. So we have a new halacha here that we're formulating that Tashmishi Mitzvah Einin Nizrakim L'Makom Meguna. And the Ramah codifies this, that there are those who went a step further and they were meticulous, they were medaktik L'Gonzom to put them into Gneza. And for example, to take Schach after Sukkos and place it in the Rishus HaRavim where people are going to trample upon them, that's a problem. It should not be done. I mean, you could argue that perhaps by throwing them or leaving them out in the streets, the schach after Sukkos, I'm not actively placing them in a trash can that's maguna, that's mos. It'll be taken away by the collectors. But that's not so simple, because I know for sure that the collectors are going to take away this together with the garbage, they'll throw it to an ashpa maguna, and I'm being machshel them, I'm causing them inadvertently to have been mevazet tashmishi mitzvah. It's not clear that that's allowed. And if we're mentioning different garments that are designated for tefillah, let's take the kittel. If a person has a kittel, he only wears it for tefillah, and therefore becomes tashmishi mitzvah, is the Rama would say, for sure, ein nogim boyem mig minig bizoyon. If it's miyuchad for tefillah, then it's a then you can't be noig a minig bizoyon. And a talis cotton, even if it got worn out, but it still has tzitzis on it, we should be careful to put it into gniza. So we tend to think that this is a super duper chumra. I mean, the halacha is tashmishi mitzvah nizrakim. What are we getting all upset about? And this is the chiddush that I wanted to impress upon you, that we didn't know about it. We were unaware of it. And it might apply to a kittel, certainly to a talis katan, and to any garment that's designated exclusively for tefillah. A kova, for example, that you wear in the streets and you also wear it while you daven, that's something else. Then it's not exclusively designated for tefillah. But if you have a garitol that you only use for tefillah, then it should be placed in gniza or thrown out in a place which is not a bizoyon. Now, before we conclude this Shevet HaKasi, and I want to go on to some other makoros that are very important, I just want to point out that in the last paragraph, he asks about people who go into the bathroom, into the Beis HaKisei, wearing a malbush that's miyuchad for tefillah. And that too could be viewed as a bizoyon. He writes that k'sha'osim tzorchem Beis HaKnesses mafshitin es ha-miktoron v'chein ha-talis sheyesh bo tzitzis. He should not go in with his talis. And I know that's my minig because I saw it in others. My father's minig as well, that when he went into the bathroom, he took off his talis. Again, the whole shayla about making a bracha, that's in the poskim, that if he leaves it right outside the bathroom without being mesach das, there's no esach das, he can put it back on without a bracha. But the point is that we have to be worried about bizoyon of tashmish and mitzvah. Now, in that sense, there is a certain overlap with the Tanchuma and the Shiltas that we spoke about Moshe, Shem, and Shebener, but they're not identical. In the case of Moshe, Shem, and Shebener, there's Halach of Huktzel Mitzvasa, which remains active even after Chanukah is over and there's no longer a mitzvah of Chanukah. And that means I cannot have any benefit from something that's Huktzel Mitzvasa, and the Cheftza was converted into a Cheftz of Kedusha, or quasi-Kedusha with Isuri Kedusha, Isuri Hegdish. Here what we're talking about in Talisal Shabalu, and other garments that were designated for Tefillah, we're talking about an Isur Bizoyon. If I use them for my own personal purposes, and it's Shalok Kederch Bizoyon, that's not worse than Nizrakim, than throwing it into Nashba, if it's not Derch Bizoyon. So we're not going as far as saying it's Huktzel Mitzvasa. So a universal principle in mitzvos is that if I designate an object for a mitzvah, then as long as the mitzvah is active and the object lends itself to the mitzvah, it's designated for the mitzvah, then it has a status. Once the mitzvah passes, I can throw it out. But nevertheless, because there's some vestige of mitzvah in the object, I have to treat it properly, with respect, and not derech bizoyon. Ner Chanukah, Moshe Shem Shemaneh, is different. And we've discussed in the past why that's so. Haneris Halotu Kodeshem, Chazal gave certain dinim of the Merosh of the Mikdash into the Ner Chanukah. And not only that, you remember that the Beis Yosef said that you designated a certain amount of oil that would last a half hour, and midway the candle was extinguished, that oil was designated for the mitzvah. I want to study with you a tshuva here of the Shalmei Todah. And here also he's he's addressing the issues of Ner Chanukah, but what's fascinating here, he talks about the Chanukiah itself. What's the status of the menorah that you designate for the mitzvah of Chanukah, and presumably you'll use it next year? And the question whether you want to use it for your own purposes, you know, from one Chanukah till the next Chanukah. He starts by quoting the Rosh in the name of the Shiltos, that Moshe Shem Shebener is also l'shtamishlo because it's hutzal mitzvosa. And even though that brisa doesn't appear in Shas, it's only in the Shiltos, nevertheless, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the codes, in Sima Tov Reish Ayin Zayin. And we've seen already that the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha says that this is the shemen that's in the ner itself. You have shemen that's in the bottle, that's in the container, in the receptacle, and you haven't used it, even though you expected to use it and you designated for that. That's not huktzel mitzvasa. Everybody agrees that that shemen is mutter. That's called hazmona bialma and hazmona lav milsahi. The shemen that's in the ner itself, that's huktzel mitzvasa. And again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tov Reish Ayin Beis, that when is it called Huktzel Mitzvasa? That's only for the shear of Hadlaka. There's that volume of oil that I need to last for that half hour. And the candle went out midway, before the half hour. If he puts in a vast volume of oil into the Nair, way beyond the half hour that he needs, then he's allowed to use the Mosar Shem and Shem Nair, even L'chatchil, that's not Muktzel. He was only Makta what he needs for the Mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah adds that some poskim are a little bit concerned, that a little bit inhibited about that psak. They would like to add another precondition that he should make a tanai. He should think it out explicitly that he's only designating for the mitzvah of Chanukah a half hour's worth of the volume of oil. And in fact, Tosfos, as we've seen in the past in Masechta Shabbos Mem Dalid, quotes this Shiltos of Rav Achai about Moshe Shem Shemanel Acher Chanukah, and he asks, why is it different than Noi Sukkah, which is Mutter after Sukkahs? Why is it different than Aner Shabbos Shekava, which we say that he's allowed to use the oil after Shabbos? It's only during Shabbos that he can't use it. Why is Chanukah also even after Shabbos? And Tosfos says, because in the case of Aner Chanukah, He has no anticipation that it's going to go out. He's matzit legamri lemitzvah, which means that he converts the cheftza into cheftza de isura, as we discussed in Rabbi Yosef Engel earlier, because he's matzit legamri. He has no intention. You know, when a person puts in oil for Shabbos, he knows that there'll be some leftover oil. When a person sets up his noi sukkah, he knows that that's only for the 7 days, the 8 days of sukkahs. But here, he expects that this candle will light and light until all the oil is used up. So the oil itself is huktzel mitzvaso for all eternity. Of course, you can wonder about the psilos, the wicks. If there are leftover wicks after Chanukah, do we say that it's katsoy legamre in this case? And when Tosfos postulates that a man is makta the shemen legamre, he doesn't expect it to go out. He, you know, in his mind, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's for Chanukah. What about the psilos? Do we also say it's katsoy legamre with regard to the psilos, and you have to burn them? The price of Rav Achai goes speaks about the shemen shebener, but what about the psilos? And here one could vacillate back and forth and wonder what is his mindset with regard to the psilos. You know, psilos are not like shemen, you know, that are omdos lizbar lechalos legamre. So maybe there was no haktsah for after Chanukah in the case of the psilos, but if you look in the Ran in Shabbos, in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Alpha Mibeis Inam Lishira, the Ran writes, "Af Hashemen Vapsilo Shenishtayru Lachar Chanukah Asurim." It's Lehedja here. It's explicit in the Ran that even the psilos are all also awesome. However, not everyone agrees with the Ran, and there are other poskim who would say that there's a difference between shemen and psilos. In the psilos, since it's not asuyim lizbayer, the way Tosfos says it about shemen, therefore it's quite possible that we could accept the position of lowest katzah. He does not do a haktzah. The Ran, on the other hand, might be talking about a different kind of psilos. Maybe he's talking about psilos that usually get completely consumed. There's nothing left in the psila after the nair is extinguished. And that's not necessarily the case for our psilos. But in Mosar Shem and Shebener, there we say that the Shemen was Hukta Lizbar Lagamre. It's Lagamre Hukta. You know, one could ask about the psilos, that maybe the psilos absorb some of the Shemen in it. And if the Shemen is Mukta, then ipso facto the psilos is Mukta. And if you'd have to burn the psilos together with the Shemen. And in truth, you know, you could take a piece of cotton, what we call in Hebrew Tzemer Geffen, and you might be able to absorb the Shemen into the Tzemer Geffen and burn the Tzemer Geffen with the Shemen that's absorbed in it. The psilos, I don't know, if they're not sfugos for Shemen, they're not like the case of the cotton that absorbs the oil, then it could be the psilos you're allowed to use. But now we want to address the question that I mentioned earlier about the Chanukiah itself. Are you allowed to use the Chanukiah after Chanukah for your own purposes? You need it for, a lamp. You want to put candles on it, chves. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Tzitzis Dafka in Siman Chaf Aleph quotes a Bach that addresses the question of Tzitzis Bal Laila. As we paskin, Laila Labzman Tzitzis. But yet, the Beged HaMetzuyas B'Tzitzis is designated for the mitzvah tzitzis tomorrow morning. But what's the status in that interim period? Now there's no mitzvah, but tomorrow there will be a mitzvah. Shofar, after Rosh Hashanah. Or Lulav, after the Chag. Let's say I intend to use the same shofar next year. And the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Bach, says that you're not allowed to be mishtamish bohem, tashmishim shel chol, and the halachas of Bizui mitzvah apply. It's still considered designated for the mitzvah. The din and the status of Huktzel mitzvah so continues to exist in the object, because the object tomorrow or a year from now will be used once again in the next cycle for the mitzvah. But in Bir Aloch, he quotes the Magen Avraham, who disagrees with the Bach, and the opinion of the Magen Avraham is that a Sukkah Yeshana that was used last year, even if I intend to use it next year, is Mutal Ishtamish Bah, even for his own personal purposes, despite the fact that the sukkah is designated to be used next year. That's not called Bizui Mitzvah. And not only that, even when the sukkah was designated for this year, and it's already sukkahs, he hasn't yet sat, there was no yeshiva yet in the sukkah, there's no din of Huktzel Mitzvah. So Huktzel Mitzvah is not just hazmona, because that's what a lot of milsi, but it has to be already used for the mitzvah. So only once I clinch the kiyuma mitzvah by sitting in the sukkah, that's when the sukkah becomes huktzel mitzvasa. And therefore, if we take the Magen Avraham to the case of Chanukiah after Chanukah, even though it's designated for next year, although the Bach would say I can't use it for my personal purposes, the Magen Avraham would say it's mutter. It seems that we have to be machmir here, the way the Mishnah Berurah, again, I can't promise you this, but his inclination is towards the Bach. But perhaps we could say the following, that there's a fundamental difference between sukkah, shofar, and lulav on the one hand, and the Bach is very careful about these objects, because even though the mitzvah is finished, but next year I'm going to use it again, or tomorrow I'll use it again. And Chanukiah of Chanukah, because in the cases of Sukkah, Shofar, and Lulav, one could ostensibly argue that it's a Cheftashol Mitzvah. And it remains as such with that status, because I'm going to use it next year. But in the case of Chanukiah, I don't know if Chanukiah is a Cheftashol Mitzvah. It's a Hechsher Mitzvah. The Mitzvah itself is in the Nair. And therefore, even the Bach would agree there's no status, there's no Halacha of Bizui Mitzvah with regard to the Chanukiah. And that's what it says here in the Shalmei Todah. I would like to add something that in the Moriah publication many years ago, they quote a Ravid from a manuscript. And the Ravid maintains that the din of menorah in Ner Chanukah's likuva, you must have a menorah, and it's based on the fact that it's the institution, the takon of mitzvahs Ner Chanukah is zecher l'menorah shebimigdash. The Ravid, therefore, it seems, l'fi ani yistaiti, would elevate the status of a Chanukiah to a chefsa shel mitzvah, not just a hechsha mitzvah, the likes of lulav, sukkah, and shofar. But that doesn't mean we have to be machmir for the Ravid. And therefore, the Shalmei Todah would submit to you that the Chanukiah is perfectly mutter after Chanukah. And then he writes, Lo domi lo shana ule esrog u sukkah kol shiva davi shas mitzvos v'chein shofar Rosh Hashanah v'ner Chanukah b'shas adlok. Alo tzitzis balayla, he wants to say, is similar to the Dalet Minim, or Sukkah, or Shofar, and Chanukah, li'achar shenaseis ha-mitzvah, v'ovar zmana. This is very interesting. That although in all the other cases of Chefetz Shal Mitzvah, the Bach maintains that if you use it again in the future down the line, it still maintains its status of Huktzel Mitzvah, even after the mitzvah is complete. But in the case of Tzitzis, Laila Lavzman Tzitzis means that the mitzvah is totally complete. And I think what the Bach here is driving at in distinguishing between Dalid Minim and Sukkah and Shofar on the one hand and Chanukah on the other hand is that those mitzvot that are engendered by Kedushas HaZman, the Lila somehow is incorporated into the Zman. Again, it's not going to help me to explain Shofar from one Rosh Hashanah to the other, but at least Lila, even if it's Lav Zman Sukkah, Lav Zman Dalet Minim, Lav Zman Shofar, but nevertheless, it's part of the Kedushas Zman, and the Kedushas Zman joins, or shall we say, integrates all of the yontif, including the laila, into one indivisible section of zman, and that's huktzel mizman mitzvah. But Ner Chanukah, it's a little bit difficult to say that unless we say that there's some sort of, I don't know what to call it, a yontif, a status of a yontif that takes from the beginning of Chanukah to the end. But in any event, getting back to tzitzis, every day is a brand new mechayev of tzitzis. There's no connection between yesterday's chiyuv tzitzis and today's, and therefore tzitzis balayla is mutter according to the shita. Now, we mentioned shofar, and in the context of Chanukiah, and we said that Chanukiah, it would not come under the halacha of tashmishin mitzvah, because it's not a chefshim mitzvah, only a hechshim mitzvah, according to those shitas, not like the Ravid that I mentioned, then one could ostensibly argue the same thing is true with regard to shofar. And you have to know about shofar shalola, shofar gozel, and all the dinim. If the shofar is a chefta shal mitzvah, that's one thing. But if the shofar is only a hechshem mitzvah, and the chefta shal mitzvah, the gufa shal mitzvah is the kol, as the Rambam says, ein b'kol din gezel, and therefore you yotzei with the shofar gozel, the shofar itself is not the chefta shal mitzvah, and therefore even if it's stolen, you can be yotzei, then by the same token, it makes sense that there are no dinim of Isur Hanoah or Bizayin Mitzvah with regard to the Chefetz of the Shofar. So, therefore, the issue of using the Chanukiah for your own purposes would seem to be inclined that there's room to be Mekil. Now, to set up a Chanukiah in a house for Noi purposes, you know, use them at an attractive, aesthetic beauty, that for sure is Mutter. Because the only Isur Tashmish that we're talking about in a Chefetz Shal Mitzvah is Bizoyim. As we saw, to take one Ner Chanukah and use it to light another Ner Chanukah, or one Ner Shabbos to the other, that's not Bizoyim Mitzvah, and that should be Mutter. Only Bizoyim Mitzvah is Osur. And if that be the case, then you putting a Chanukiah, you know, under a glass, you know, with the lights and so forth, a beautiful Chanukiah, and you want to make your house into a museum, that's not a tashmish of bizui, and that should be mutter in any event. That for sure is mutter in Chanukiah. Whether you can use the Chanukiah for your own purposes, you know, al zeh yesh ladun, you know, you could have a debate about that. And now we look, as we always do in the Piskei Tshuvas, in Hilchas Tzitzis Siman Chaf Aleph. And once again he addresses our issue of Talisos, Talskot, and Tzitzis. Are you allowed to use them? Le'achar Shebolu. They are somewhat disintegrated, worn out, you're no longer using them for the mitzvah. Or do you need Gniza? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins Echutei Tzitzis Shenifsiku Yachol Lezarkam. And the Shulchan Aruch, as understood by the poskim, would allow you to throw out these chutei tzitzis. And he writes here in the Piskei Tshuvas that there's no difference between a talis gadol and a talis katan, as long as they're royal and mitzvah, you have to be shomer on the kedusha, and you're not allowed to use them for any tashmish bazui or maguna, you know, to wipe off sweat from your body, to wipe your mouth or your nose. You can't use it as a handkerchief, or to scratch your head, to take off any sort of dirt from your body, and so forth and so on. This is all tashmish bozui. And that would apply to a talis gadol and talis katan and a ru'uyim mitzvah. He raises the question about the atorah, you know, different parts that are attached to the talis in order to beautify the talis. And he says that all the laws and the care that we have to take with regard to the talis apply even to the atorah and to all those parts, badim, that are added to the talis and to the talis katan. They become part of the mitzvah. It's like noi sukkah. And then he says the following, that we shouldn't leave a talis gadol or a talis katan on the floor. That's also considered derech bizoyim. And to wash it in the washing machine together with other clothes, I mean, again, depending how dirty the clothes are, but if they have muluchlochos, betsoa, betin of gadol, that shouldn't be done. That's also tashmish bozri. And in addition to the talis gadol, talis katan, we have the case of a beged hamiuchel tefillah, something that you only wear when you daven, and there too you have to avoid any tashmish bozui and lignai and bizoyin to the object. Not to use it, to wrap up things, and to sit on, you know, to give you a cushion, all those kinds of tashmishim. You can't use it as a blanket to cover yourself in bed at night. All these kind of tashmishim are asur because the talis is royal with mitzvah. And the same chumras apply to a talis katan and to any beged hamiyuchad l'tefillah. However, nisbalu o nisyashnu, after they become disintegrated, then the din is a little bit different. And here we have to make a distinction. If the tzitzios are adayin tluyos babeged, then we don't throw them out in a disrespectful way. However, once the talis gadol, talis katan, and the tzitzis have been removed, then the law changes. He writes, shimush maguna osur lasus v'shimush chol she'im be'gnayu bizoyim mutarim. So as long as it's royal mitzvah, you should basically avoid using them for your own purposes. However, once the tzitzios have been removed, then you have to avoid what he calls a shimush maguna. Okay. Then he goes into various other dinim about shofar, sukkah, dalminim, and other heftzi mitzvah. In the footnote, he quotes that the stipler of Kanevsky was very makpid on these dinim. He didn't want anyone to use a talis gadol for any shimush chol. He was makbid, apparently not to use the talis gadol to clean his glasses, and various other dinim. Well, let's go on and take a look at a sefer called Ginzei HaKodesh, which is one of these contemporary books that brings down the practical guides for how to deal with Geniza. And he writes the following. Dfanos HaSukah V'Aschach B'meshach Ches Yimei Chanukah, excuse me, Ches Yimei HaChag Harayim Kedoshim. And it doesn't matter if you have one sukkah or two sukkahs. Each sukkah is sanctified. And therefore, he says the following. The Isur of Hanah from Atzei Sukkah extends until after the Chag. And you're not allowed to use it in any way that could be mevatel the Kedusha. You can't take off of a piece and use it to clean your teeth. However, if you are nene in a way that there's no contradiction, you don't undermine the Kedusha, you know, you want to just lean on them or put something upon them, that's okay. He writes that any other addendum that is added to the sukkah, any appendix to the sukkah, so to speak, even a ritzpah, let's say you have a floor, you know, you can't enjoy the sukkah if it's on the ground. So you put a ritzpah down. The ritzpah is also included in the law of Kedushas Sukkah. And he says, if the sukkah falls, then it still remains Asur B'Hanah, albeit only Midrabbanan. It downgrades from a Doraisa to a Midrabbanan. And he writes, "Ein moil lahasnos al sukkah sheinu bodol mimenu kidei lahatil ishtamish bo. V'dafka b'shir shetach asukkah shechayv mitzad adin, avol chilek anosof moil tnaim aso bechol amoed, achim lo hisnim b'feirish aso ba'adno." Here he gets into a whole lumdus about how far we go with huktzel mitzvaso with regard to the sukkah itself. And he claims the following, that when a person establishes a sukkah at the beginning of sukkahs, then that sukkah becomes sanctified for the entire chag. He says, however, there's an extra part of the sukkah above and beyond the minimum shear that's required in sukkah. There, he can make a tanai. There are various dinim about when he makes the tanai, and whether the tanai has to be explicit. Those details he gets into here in the footnotes, but the basic halacha is that tnai will work for the extended part of the sukkah, that which goes beyond the minimal requirement of the shetach ha-sukkah. He says that tnai also works on the sukkah itself for the eighth day, or in chutz laretz for the ninth day. Then he says that after the Chag is over, the Kedusha Sukkah is betela, and even if the Sukkah is designated to be used from one year to the other, it has no Kedusha after Sukkahs until next Sukkahs, and there's no Isra Hanah. The question is, when this year's Sukkahs begins, even if he hasn't sat in the sukkah, should we consider it as Asur B'Hanah? And he vacillates back and forth. We saw in the poskim that there's no Isur until he actually sits in the sukkah. Now, after sukkahs is over, and we said it doesn't have kedusha for the rest of the year, nevertheless, you're not allowed to do an act of bizayon to trample upon the dafna sukkah or the schach, or to throw them in a place that's mamish and a bizayon. And therefore, he should designate a place for it that might be hefker, anyone could take it, but nobody is walking there. It's not in the middle of the street where people will trample upon it. Then he says about noy sukkah, that as opposed to the sukkah itself, with regard to noy sukkah, when he puts up the noy in the sukkah, he's allowed to make a tanai. And therefore, during the days of sukkahs, he can take the noy sukkah off the sukkah and use it in any way he wants because of his tanai. Assuming there was no Tanai, then Noi Sukkah becomes Asur, and therefore after Chag, he should not throw it into the garbage in the Derech Bizayon. And it begins to remind us of the laws of Shemitah, you know, that you have leftovers from the fruits of Shemitah, it has Kedusha Shvius, you know, you have to put them in a safe place, wrap it up, and so forth. As far as the Dalet Minim on Sukkos is concerned, he says that you have to designate them for the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, and during the entire Chag, they are considered Muktzel Mitzvasa, you're not allowed to use them for Shimushe Chol, and for sure not for Tashmish Maguna. Then he says that after the Chag is over, the Dalet Minim Pokar Kedushasam, they're allowed to be used for any benefit that you want, but you shouldn't do a bizi on it. You shouldn't throw it into an ashpa in a place where it mixes up with other, you know, fashtunken azachen, you know, if it's a derech bizoyim. And this whole discussion about the alminim after Pesach, after Sukkot, becomes very relevant with regard to the Hoshanas, because on Hoshana Rabbah, you know, we've taken five badim of Hoshanas and we clapped them with the Chibur Arava. Now we have them, what do we do with them? And it has the same status as the other Dalet Minim after the Chag. In other words, technically, Pakha Kedushasam. But we don't throw it in the garbage, and the Minik seems to be quite widespread that we throw it on top of the Aron Kodesh and we'll use it later on for another mitzvah. Let's just take a look at the footnote here. He says that this Minik is mentioned by the Marasham, and if you take a look at the mitzvah of Zkifas Arova in the Migdash, which was Al-Gabi Mizbeach, and it was in our time, instead of the Mizbeach, we have the Aron Kodesh, that has like a din of a replacement for the Mizbeach. Now, with regard to tzitzis, there is a widespread minhag that tzitzis, even if they're no longer royal of mitzvah, so we put them into Gniza. That does not seem to be the minhag with regard to the Dalet Minim after Sukkos. And we have to find some distinction between Dalet Minim on the one hand and Tzitzis on the other. Maybe because Dalet Minim is a Dover Shenim Eskayim, and therefore they weren't makpid to put it into Gniza. Many have the minhag of saving it for Sreifas Chametz. And then there's no kasha whatsoever about the difference between that and Chutei Tzitzis Lachar Shatzitzis Bola. Now many people have the minhag of using the Hadassim on Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yontif, for Havdalah, for the mitzvah of Havdalah. Again, you have to make sure that there's Reach, that it has a good smell. Other people take the Dalet Minim and they use them on Erev Pesach for Sreifas Chametz, as we indicated before. All these are considered not Bizui mitzvah, on the contrary, using it from one mitzvah, now using it for a second mitzvah. The Esrog, some people use to make jam. And he says that too is considered that heta, that's not Bizui mitzvah. But to take a lulav and throw it bibizoyon after the Chag, that we don't do. The box that you use to hold the esrig, or the flax that you use to wrap around the esrog, or for example, you have a nartik of lulav, ein bem kedusha klal, and therefore there's no iser of huktzel mitzvaso. However, if people will recognize them, you have to be very careful. You shouldn't be zorik them bibizoyon. You should treat them with a certain amount of respect. Rav Karelitz is famous for saying that pre Eitz Hadar, which is written on the Kufsof of Esrog, is not, right, those three words, that doesn't engender a din or requirement of Gniza. He says, Havi, Tzachus HaLoshon. It's not like writing psukim in the Torah. Now, with regard to Neros Shel Mitzvah, first of all, Ner Chanukah, we said you're not allowed to use them while they're lit. You can't use their R, even for the sake of another mitzvah. And you can't learn to the R Chanukah. And you're not allowed to be madlik Neros Chanukah Zemizeh. We're makpid not to light one Ner from the other. A yahrzeit candle. In other words, after the 24 hours, you're allowed to use it for whatever purpose you need it. The Shemen, after the 8th day of Chanukah, since it was Hutzel Mitzvah, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. It's also about Noah. You burn it. But according to the Beis Yosef, and that's how he codifies in Shulchan Aruch, that only applies if the candles were extinguished within the Zman of the Hadlaka. However, l'chatchil, it's best to make a Tanai. With regard to the Psilos, as we saw, there's a Machlokas in the Poskim. What's the status of the Psilos after Chanukah? And in general, a person who wants to use the Shemen that's left over from the Ner Chanukah, he should make a Tanai. Now, with regard to Ner Shabbos, Psilos and Shava, all that was left over from the Ner Shabbos is Mutal Ishtamish Lem L'Divrei Chol. And the same thing applies to Ner Avdolah or any other Neros that are used for a mitzvah. With regard to the menorah itself, that's used for Chanukiah, or the Pamutot for Shabbos, Mutal Zorkam Biashpa, and the same din would apparently apply to the Chanukiah itself. He's not Machmir for the Chanukiah. So that's all in this Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh. Now, it's quite common here in Israel, and I think in Chutz Lartz as well, that at a celebration of Hachnasas Sefer Torah, they light all sorts of lapidim, all sorts of torches. They have no status of Huktzel Mitzvahs of any Kedusha whatsoever. Mutal Zorka B'Ashpa. Shofar, that was used for a mitzvah, and it still is fit for the mitzvah. It hasn't got broken or anything like that, then you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes or for a shimush maguna. If again, if it became possible, that's a different story. Excuse me, a beged, that's miyuchad for tefillah. We don't go like a kittel or a gartel. We don't go into the Beis HaKisei with it. And some are mekil and allow you to go to into the Beis HaKisei if he's wearing it shelo bizman hatfilah. Kittel v'gartel shebolu is mutal zarkom liashpa. Besamim shel avdolah, he makes a brach on these besamim. Some say he should be makbid not to throw it into the ashpa, but rather yatzniyam b'derech kovet or yisrafim. And that's a chumrah. Kalim sheshimshu mitzvah, for example, kupas tztaka, kalim that were used in the context of burying the dead, mutal zarka. What about a sakin shen shchita and ismal shel mila? Apparently, there's a minhag to be machmir, not to throw it in the garbage. I mean, I don't know what the basis for the minhag is, but minhag yisrael torah. Now, a kiddush cup should not be thrown out b'derech bizoyim, even though it has no kedusha. A yarmulke, on the other hand, you can throw in the garbage. And to tell you the truth, to understand the difference between a kosher kiddush and a yarmulke is a little difficult, other than the fact that the kosher kiddush is miyuchad l'mitzvah, so we don't want to throw it out b'derech bizoyim. The keeper is not exactly a mitzvah. The keeper is just to give us a sense of Yerushalayim. Now the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes in regard to Chanukah paskins that shemen shenisha menorah lachar chanukah v'chein apsilos also by medura v'sarfa mishuk so huktzel mitzvah sasol hanus v'elkein hisna mitchil shenu makta mashishar. So he's machmer to include the psilos in the halacha of the brice of the shiltos, that psilos also have the same din as shemen shebener. The Ben Ish Chai, I think we've mentioned this in the past in Parshas Zos HaBrocha, says that after Sukkot is over and he takes apart his sukkah, or yifsal atzei asukkah, the eitzim of the sukkah should not be trampled upon. And the minhag is latzniyam, and you can use them for another mitzvah. Let's say, for example, you want to burn your chametz with them, or you want to burn a fire for Agola, you know, Erev Pesach. So that would be okay. We're looking in the Torah's HaMoadim, and in Simon Hay, he brings the Shiltos LaLocha, together with the qualification of the Beit Yosef, that we're talking about a case of Kabu Aneiros Kodem Zmanam, in Dolku Kishir Zmana Mitzvah, Venosa Hashem Beneris Mutul Shtamish Bemein Tzorkel Sorfim, Yesh Om Vishim Nosan Hashem Beneris Stam, Velo Hisna Beferishain Makatzo Som, Limitzvoso, Afilim Nosan Shem and Yosem Kishir Nesakol Shem Banov Tzorkel Sorfim, Velochain Tov Shiisna Beferish. All this we've seen with Machbir Fetoskus, Tosk says that in his mindset he was Machza all Hashem. That'll be Mavur. Therefore, he needs a Tanai. However, with regard to the oil left in the kankan in the bagbuk, and we've seen this before, mutul shtamishbo, lachila, ladloka, etc., etc. Once he puts the shemen in the chanukiah, then we have to ask ourselves the following question: did he use it for Chanukah? Did he not use it for Chanukah? The fact that he designated it is not enough to engender the isur of huktzel mitzvaso. If at the end of the day he doesn't use it for hadlokas ner chanukah, it's muta lo nesar shemen shelo asur el shemen shenasa bo mitzvah. So that's the Torah's hamodim, and we've mentioned this before. One last point that I wanted to mention, and we'll make a siyum on this topic, in the Ginzei HaKodesh, with regard to the status of the chanukiah from one chanukah to the next, even though he's allowed to do with it whatever he wants, he's allowed to be Zorik Dem La'ashpo, but he quotes here in a footnote, Nomer Chavav, in the name of Rav Yoshiv, that if this is Miyuchad for Chanukah, and it's Nikar that it's Miyuchad for Chanukah, Lo Yizrekenu B'Bizoyim. So the usage is that he's allowed to enjoy the benefits, that's okay, as long as it's not Derech Bizoyim. Okay, Rabbi Osa, we'll stop here.